Good morning.
What a blessing it is to be here together with all of you. Thank you for being here. Welcome to Northwest Chinese Baptist Church. If this is your first time here this morning, we are glad that you are here. What an amazing day we have to worship together. And we are in the midst of this special emphasis, this special series titled Celebrate Service. And today, just like we did last week, we give God thanks. We want to give God thanks for you, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, who faithfully, week in, week out, month after month, year after year, use your God-given gifts, talents, and abilities for His kingdom, for His glory. And the ministries that we want to highlight today. There are those that you don't often see up here on the stage. But we know that God uses these dear, you, our dear brothers and sisters in such mighty ways. You that serve faithfully. You that serve with thoughtfulness and care to help and to harmonize our church, God's church. We want to say thank you this morning. And I do want to specifically name some specific groups of people that do so much in our church. And for those of you that are here now, on time, thank you for being here. Because those that are late, they're going to miss this. And they're going to miss this opportunity to recognize these dear brothers and sisters. And they're going to miss out. And so we'll pray for them. But I'm thankful for you guys. All right, and I'm thankful for those that are still on their way. But, okay, so we're going to do this. All right, I'm going to say these different categories of ways that people serve. And if this is you, well, we'll stop after I read off a few and we'll have you stand. Okay, I'll give you the option. If you are going to be recognized, if you serve in all of these areas, I will let you just stay seated if you don't want to stand the whole time or if you don't want to get up and down 10 times. Okay? If you serve in multiple areas, just stand once and we can recognize you. But if you'd like to stand for all of them, please do. All right? It could be some exercise for today. All right? For me, that would be great exercise. All right? So, I'm not going to say a lengthy speech for all of these areas, because there's so many. But let's start off with these few areas. Our deacons, the deacons of this church, servants of this church, qualified servants of this church, please stand up. Many of you may not even know who our deacons are. But these four men, have served so faithfully through the years. And we thank you, brothers. Thank you for your service to the Lord. All right. Next, our church administrator, our church secretary. Is she here? Terry Irmata. We only have one. And things would not get done without you. We thank you and we appreciate you. Thank you so much for all that you do. And I know in all of these things, in all of these recognitions, we could never fully express all that God has done. And all that God is doing, but we simply want to acknowledge all that God is doing through each and every one of you. So I'm going to read off these next areas, and if in these three areas, if you serve in this area, please stand up. Our business managers, okay, the people that help count the money and deposit it in the bank, or else I wouldn't be able to get paid. Yeah, the people that work in our food service, please stand up if they're in here. I made a special request that they would come in from the kitchen today. I don't know if they're here or not. But people that help with food service, facilities and maintenance, anyone that helps to take care of this facility and beautify, Tracy Tang, you better stand up. Okay, and I'm not going to call out everyone's name. But for some of these areas, it is only one person that leads. And so that's why I mentioned some of these, okay? Some of these specific people. transportation. Those of you that offer rides or give rides to people, please stand up. It's not an official ministry, but it's a way to serve. Stand up. Our missions committee, people that encourage us to fulfill the Great Commission and go and proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth. Please stand up. Did you know we had a balloon ministry here at church? There is a way. You can use balloons to share the good news of Jesus Christ, if you didn't know that. Thank you, Ed. Not only that, but, you know, I'm thankful that through the years, there's been so many sweet memories and people that have experienced God in such amazing ways through the different activities and events that we've had here at church through the years. And if you have ever been a part of coordinating an event or you're on the special events ministry, I want to ask you to stand. Stand. Mom, stand, please. Okay, anyone else? Anyone else that has helped coordinate? All of you that helped coordinate. And as well as this last area, and I know all this is a responsibility for all of us. As the body of Christ, to love one another, to care for one another. But I want to ask those that are specifically serving in the caring ministry, whether you help someone in a certain way, and this involves all of us, but I know there are those specifically who serve in this area, caring for our dear church family. Please stand up. Don't make me call your names. Okay, there are those out there. They may not want to stand up. But, and I know, and I appreciate all of you, because we all do care for one another. We love each other in obedience to Christ. And for those of you that we recognize this morning, again, I want to say thank you. Thank you for all that you give to the Lord. Thank you for your faithful service. Thank you for your sacrifice, because God continues to change lives through people and through the ministries here at Northwest Chinese Baptist Church. And I am so thankful. And so we want to say thank you. And in line with this emphasis, and I wanted to ask two more of our dear church members to come up this morning and just share a few minutes of how God has blessed them through serving. And so I want to ask one of our deacons, I want to ask Deacon Eddie Wong, and I want to ask Tracy Tang to also come up here, and they're going to share with us just how they've been blessed through serving. And so we'll let Eddie go first, and then Tracy can follow. Tracy, you can sit down while Eddie shares, or you can come up here and stand with me.
You don't want to stand by me, Tracy?
No.
Steve named off a lot of service areas, but I think one thing lacking, which we didn't have, was the food taster service people. Who wants to join that one? Well, I'm here to talk about deacons. I'd like Stan Ma, Jack Yee, and Buddy Hing to stand again so you can see them. Because these are the men I'm talking about today. Thank you. Okay, back in 1990, I don't know how many of you were born, you know, back then, but in 1990, our pastor at the time, Brother Ron Ju, who was going over the qualifications for deacons, and so he was going over it with us, and he read from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mysteries of faith with a pure conscience. All of us nodded very reverently in agreement. But then the pastor came to verse 12. Let deacons be husband of one wife. At that point, Stan Ma interrupted loudly, "Oh, thank goodness, one wife is more than enough." At that point, Buddy Hing and Jack Yee said, "Amen," and was, I think they almost caused themselves to have whiplash. Okay, now that I've gotten in trouble with the deacon wives, I'd like to honor these men who have served as deacons for over 28 years. And they have served more than just being deacons. They have served in many positions throughout this church. And they've always been willing to step up and do God's will. I've known Stan Ma, Buddy Hing, and Jack Yee for what seems like a lifetime. But it was not until we began the mission, First Chinese Baptist Chapel, some 35 years ago, that this relationship grew. I've learned from their example and have been encouraged by their heart of service. We have grown together in Christ through serving together at this church. We have prayed for each other. We have prayed for this church and its people, and we have prayed for their pastors. We have watched over each one's family grow up. We have seen our children growing up, coming to know Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And it's been a blessing to see all these children grow up, become adults, and have children of their own. These men have shown me what it means to serve. They have always been ready and willing to give of themselves, their time, and their possessions. Now, we should all know that God accomplishes His will with His own power. Yet, He desires to use His people in accomplishing His will. God used these men to do His work here at Northwest Chinese Baptist Church. Look around. You see the facilities here. You see the people worshiping and serving here. And, you know, people's lives are being changed by Jesus Christ. And God used these men to help accomplish these things. These men, Stan Ma, Buddy Hing, and Jack Yee, have served as servant stewards here at this church. First, as leaders for 2 years as we began in the chapel, and then as charter members for, well, since back in 1985. And also for the last 28 years, they served as deacons of this church. Now, being a deacon is not easy, and at times it's been difficult and stressful. But yet, being a deacon is also so rewarding and so satisfying. Truly, only God can call a person to be a deacon. And with that call, God gives each deacon strength, wisdom, and responsibility. And God also gives deacons support. I made fun of our wives at the beginning, but in truth, our wives give us support, they give us encouragement, and they give us a helpful ear. They serve alongside their deacon husbands, and I'd like to recognize these ladies. Betty Ma, is Betty here? She's in the back working. Okay. Jeanette Hing, I see Jeanette, please stand. And Betty Yee, thank you. And Meilan Wong. Give them a hand. For all these years that these men have served in the church as deacons, these ladies have also served all those times, and even before. So in closing, I'd like to encourage all to find a place of service here at this church. Serving God is fulfilling and builds our relationship with Him and with our brothers and sisters in Christ. I'd like to close with a verse from Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Apostle Paul tells us, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Thank you so much for allowing me to share. May God bless you.
Thank you, Eddie. All right, Tracy. We're going to have Tracy Tang share with us next.
Good morning. I think most of you know me as part of the Facilities Committee. And That's a committee of one. Just kind of give you a background on how this all evolved and stuff. There used to be a person, Joe Backus, that used to actually be the facilities manager of this place. He served here, dedicated a lot of time, a lot of his love and caringness in taking care of the facility. I used to see him outside just, you know, picking up trash off the ground and stuff, walking around, just patrolling the area. And these were on the weekdays. I'd be driving by the church and I'd see him, and I'd come in on Sunday, ask him, "Hey, what are you doing?" You know, and he says, "Oh, I just love this church. I just want to make sure I take care of this church. You know, it's God's church." And he did that for several years, and I just really was in awe of dedication and the time that he did to serve, to take care of this facility. And then he moved. He moved to the other side of town, and actually he's taking care of, he's a facility manager at another church. And, things around the church then began not to be taken care of. There's no one really that would take the role, to step up to do the role. And I began to get phone calls from the secretary at the time, who was Sonia. She would call me and ask me about things. Hey, how do I take care of this? How do I unplug the toilet? There's a drip on one of the sinks in the nurseries, or this or that needed to be clean. So I just began to take the time to come to the church, take care of some of these things, and try to serve the best I could. And that's slowly how things evolved, that I became involved in this role. And I think the biggest thing that that came out of it is that I just love serving for the Lord and this beautiful facility. And I want everybody to be appreciated of a facility that, that we have to worship in. Not very many people have that opportunity to worship in a beautiful facility like this. So just want you to just take the time to, if you see a piece of trash on the ground or something like that, or something needs to be cleaned, take the time to just kind of wipe it up or, fix it or something like that. And just don't walk away from it. So that's kind of all I needed to say.
Thanks, Casey.
As we can see, if you haven't noticed, just in the past couple of weeks, God uses so many different types of people to accomplish His perfect plans. And it's what a privilege it is to be a part of the body of Christ. Everyone, each of us has our part, and we are called to use all that God has given us for His glory, for His kingdom. And that includes you. And so I want to take you into God's Word today. And I want to point you to this passage in Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. And this week, I was thinking back, I have three children of my own, my wife Debbie and I. And they're growing so fast. Our oldest one, oldest son, Braden's already 10 years old. And our youngest, our daughter Hannah, is 5. Caleb is 8. But as I was looking back, thinking back of my own childhood, I have two older brothers. And believe it or not, they're older than me, but they're both taller than me. They're both about 5 inches taller than I am. So can you believe that? Growing up, hoping, praying that I would be as tall, as big as my big brothers. And then I had a lot of hope. Between sophomore and junior year, I had a huge growth spurt. I grew 4 inches in 1 year. The sad part about it was that it stopped after that. And I ended up how tall I am now, which is not bad, right? But as I was thinking about growing, I was thinking about challenges. I'm a sports fan, and so I read this article about one of these all-star NBA power forwards named Anthony Davis. And in this article, and no, I am a Suns fan, but this article is talking about another team, another player, and it's talking about his growth spurt. From sophomore to senior year in high school, guess how many inches Anthony Davis grew? He started off sophomore year 6'2" as a sophomore in high school. Guess how many inches he grew in 2 years? He grew 8 inches. And he didn't stop. I think now he's listed at 6'11". Senior year, he was 6'10" tall. This was tremendous growth, right? But what was interesting, as I was reading the article, was they had a quote from his mother about this growth spurt that he had and some of the challenges that they faced. And nothing really serious, but here's a quote from his mom. Anthony Davis's mother was quoted saying this: "His feet were dangling off the bed," she said. "That really made it noticeable. His sleeves on his shirt began to be short and the pant legs were too short. He was like, 'Mom, I need new school pants.' I'm like, 'Son, we just bought those. Aren't those the ones from last year?' Those were the new pants that I had just bought him." And so before this, right, I told you he was 6'2" tall. And he wasn't heavily recruited by any college. But this growth, this dramatic growth, changed the course of his career. He was looking forward to playing the guard position as he furthered his basketball career. But now, being 6'10" tall, he would have to learn a new position. He would have to learn some new skills. He would have to adapt his game, learn how to rebound better, learn how to block shots, learn how to play in the post. Well, it made me think more about Acts chapter 6 and the early church. Because the early church experienced amazing growth. Yes, they didn't grow tall, 7 feet tall. Okay? But no, they experienced the amazing work of God. As thousands, as multitudes of people came to put their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And here we see it in Acts chapter 6. You see it throughout the whole book of Acts. How God brought people to Himself. How Jesus continued to proclaim the gospel. How the apostles proclaimed the gospel. And people came to Jesus. People came to faith in Jesus Christ. And I want to read this passage to you in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. And you can follow along silently. You can look in your bulletin. There's a handout. Okay, and you can fill in the blanks as we go along. But let me read this passage, and please follow along silently. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. "In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the twelve disciples, the apostles, gathered all the disciples together and said, 'It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word.' This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas from Antioch, and converted to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith." I want to ask you to pray with me. God, thank you for your word. Help us to understand it. Help us to know it. God, help us to know you more. And God, help us to live in light of your word and to live it out. to obey it. Thank you so much for today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, in this short passage, we see Luke writing this, the book of Acts. He's describing how the early church handled growth. And when I think back of Northwest Chinese Baptist Church, we have experienced tremendous growth, starting from a group of families to now and reaching hundreds of people. Hundreds of lives have been changed through the work of God, through His people, here at Northwest Chinese Baptist Church. And not in this building, but here amongst the people, you, dear brothers and sisters. God is doing amazing things. God is accomplishing His will, His plans, His purpose through you and me as we faithfully and obediently follow Him. But we see this, the church navigating through this growth. They were experiencing thousands and thousands of new believers coming, putting their faith in Jesus Christ. And along with that growth comes very practical and real life problems and challenges. But as we look at this passage, we'll see how the church navigated through these challenges. And my encouragement for all of us today is to keep this in mind. As Jesus builds His church, we must embrace challenges and we must celebrate gospel-centered growth. As Jesus builds His church, don't ever confuse that statement. As Jesus builds His church, we must embrace challenges and celebrate gospel-centered growth. What does it look like to grow as a church? And there's four things that I want to encourage you to keep in mind here this morning. As we grow, we must celebrate gospel-centered growth. We must celebrate gospel-centered growth. And you can see that exemplified in verse 1 and in verse 7. The early church experienced this amazing growth here. Okay? And if you were to ask any church, if you were to go up to a pastor and say, "Pastor, would you like this church to grow by the thousands? Thousands and thousands believing in Jesus Christ, following Jesus and coming to your church." I don't think any pastor would say, "Nah, we don't want thousands to come to faith in Christ. We don't want thousands more people to come here." Every pastor would probably say, "Yes, we want to see thousands of people come to faith in Jesus Christ." The church here in Acts was experiencing this amazing growth, not because they had any gimmicks, not because they were giving out freebies or cookies or whatever, gift bags. They were experiencing so much growth because they had a treasure to give, and that was the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they were faithful to proclaiming the gospel, and people were being drawn, not to them, but being drawn to Jesus. You look at how our church has grown, you think back through the years. As you think back, yes, we remember and we think and we honor and we celebrate people, faithful brothers and sisters, but never get it wrong. Changed lives only happens by God's grace and through God's power. And for that we give thanks, because each one of us, dear brothers and sisters, those of us that have put our faith in Jesus Christ, we would not be able to have a Savior. We would not have the assurance of salvation if it wasn't by the grace and the power of God in our own lives. We must celebrate gospel-centered growth. We could do a lot of things here to bring in a lot of people into these doors. But if we fail to share the gospel, we have failed completely. We celebrate gospel-centered growth. We rejoice when just one person comes to faith in Jesus Christ. If you are new here, if you are a guest here this morning, thank you for being here, because we get to share with you about our great Savior and our God. We must make sure that the gospel is primary in all that we do. And we must be careful that we don't make church growth in numbers an idol. We must always prioritize the gospel, sharing the Word of God to a world that is dying and so desperately in need of a Savior. They don't need just free food. The world doesn't need just more money. The world doesn't need just more counselors. The world needs Jesus. And we are representatives of Christ, called to be witnesses of Him, called to be His ambassadors, called to be His hands and His feet. That's you and me, dear brother and sister. We must celebrate gospel-centered growth. As we grow, we must also expect challenges. Just like the early church. You see it here. What was the problem here? The widows, the specific group of widows, were being discriminated against during the daily giving of welfare, provisions for the widows. And this group, they were the Greek-speaking Jewish widows. They were still Jewish, but they spoke Greek. They were being not given as much as the traditional Hebrew-speaking Jewish widows. And so, this was brought to the church's attention, to the apostles' attention. Apostles, we need to do something about this. We are not caring for the widows of our church. What do the apostles do? They talk, they confer, I'm sure prayerfully, they deal with the situation. And how do they deal with it? They just give it to the deacons. All right? No. They thoughtfully and prayerfully look for men. They recognize men who are qualified, who exemplify Jesus Christ, who exemplify a servant's heart. And these are like calling some of the first deacons of the church. And in the deacons of our church, I see the characteristics of Jesus in you, and I thank you for your faithful service, for the love, for the grace that you share to each one of us through your sacrifice, deacons. I thank God for you. But we see here some of the first deacons in the church, qualified men who exemplify Jesus Christ. The apostles say, you men, you now will be in charge of this responsibility, making sure that our widows receive what they should receive and that they are taken care of. And is it because the pastors don't care? Is it because the apostles don't care? No. They care. They care. And they want to make sure that the widows are cared for. That's why they call these men, these deacons, as fellow servants, to do and to use what they have been given by God for God's kingdom, specifically here to serve the widows in their midst. And so you look at this church, you think about it. If you just look at the numbers, wow, what an amazing church. The Church of Acts, the New Testament church, it's booming. Was this a model church? Is this a model church? Yes. But is the church here described in Acts a perfect church? No. There is no perfect church. Did they have a lot of victories? Yes. Do they have a lot of failure? Yes. And we see this here, even in this one situation, highlighted in verses 1 through 7. But see, it was an unexpected challenge, but these brothers, these leaders, they dealt with it. They worked together. And as we grow, dear church, as we continue to grow, as we continue to look forward to what God is calling us to do and where He is leading us as a church, there will be challenges. But we must never let challenges divide us. We must continue to work together to support one another, to build one another up, to encourage each other in God's Word, and continue to encourage one another to stay faithful to what God has called us to do, to make disciples, to baptize, to teach all that Jesus has commanded, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. There are going to be challenges. It will be messy at times. There will be hurt and pain involved, as there is oftentimes whenever there is growth. But we must keep Jesus at the center. We must continue to focus on the gospel and proclaiming it to the world. You see, what did they deal with? What were some of these challenges? And I just want to share them with you. They struggled with unity. They struggled with providing for the needs of their church family, their congregation. They struggled with overburdened leadership. There was just too much stuff to do and not enough people to help out. Not only that, they had to handle criticism, I'm sure. Right here, we see some criticism. Guys, the widows are not being taken care of. We need to do something about this. Not only did they handle criticism, they also learned to avoid it through being proactive, through sticking with what was important and caring for those, being responsible for fulfilling the things that they were entrusted with. They had struggles with priorities. But here we see, right, in verse 4, the apostles, what did they declare? They had this problem that was pressing, but what did they emphasize? The apostles declare that they will remain devoted to what? They will remain devoted to prayer and what? The ministry of the Word. Remaining faithful to prayer and the ministry of the Word of God, proclaiming the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, we all have a part as the body of Christ. We all must do our part. And we all must pray, and we all must continue to teach and proclaim the Word of God and share it with the world. I think sometimes we take prayer for granted. I think sometimes we minimize prayer and the importance of prayer. Do you know what prayer does, dear church family? A lot of times we hear that phrase, prayer is powerful. That is true. Prayer is powerful, but prayer is powerful because our God is all powerful. What does prayer do? Prayer shows our dependence on God. Right? Why would I pray if not to ask God, to beseech God, to cry out to God? When we pray, we acknowledge that we need God. What does it say when we do not pray, dear church family? I'm not judging you, more so speaking to myself. What does it say when I do not pray? It means I'm saying, God, I don't need you today. We must, as we grow, we must also allow the gospel to shape our service. You see, there were all these challenges in the early church. They had to keep their priorities, keep the gospel front and center. They devoted themselves to prayer and the ministry of the Word. They shared the ministry. They equipped the believers to do the work of God, and they worked together for the gospel. We must allow the gospel to shape our service, dear church family. Whatever we do as a church, we must allow the gospel to shape who we are and what we do. We must never stop praying. We must never stop preaching the gospel. As the apostles prioritized it and said, we will not stop praying. We will not stop the ministry of the Word. We must continue to do this. Think about it. What if we, the church universal, what if pastors all over the world stopped preaching the gospel? And we just focus on providing for physical needs. Would we help people? We would help a lot of people. But only on this earth. We would make no impact on eternity if we stop preaching the gospel. We must allow the gospel to shape all that we do. We must pray. We must preach. Teach, share, and we must persevere, knowing that this life is short and that Jesus is coming back soon. We have such limited time. We must keep going, dear brothers and sisters. And not only that, but as we grow, this is the last point here. As we grow, as we seek to grow, we must seize, we must take hold of the limitless opportunities to reap the harvest. We must take hold of every opportunity to share the good news that people may be saved, that people may come to the saving faith in Jesus Christ. You see, when in the midst of all of the struggles and challenges that the church faced, These brothers that they called, these deacons, they helped and harmonized the church. They shared the responsibilities. Each did their part. And God blessed them. And God continued to grow the church. People continued to be drawn to Jesus. But look here in verse 7. I mentioned before, there was this tension. There was this somewhat conflict between those, even within the Jewish people, right? The church. There was people being mistreated because they didn't speak the traditional language, because they spoke Greek and they weren't being treated the same or treated fairly. But look at what's going on here. In the midst of all of the challenges, what does it say in verse 7? In the midst of all of this, we see a number of Jewish priests come to faith in Jesus Christ as the Messiah. You might overlook this part, but don't overlook it, because this is amazing. Think about it. Think about what the Jewish believe. Jewish, your fellow friends, most of them, they're still waiting for the Messiah. They're still waiting for a Savior. And think about it back here, the Jewish priests of the day, they hated the gospel. They did not like the message that the apostles were proclaiming and preaching. But look here what God is doing. Look here what God is doing, even through a church that has problems and challenges. Look at what God is doing. A number of Jewish priests came to faith in Jesus Christ. And this is amazing. Brothers and sisters, even the fiercest enemies of the gospel can be saved. Even the fiercest enemies of the gospel can be saved. We never give up. We keep going. We persevere. We continue to press on and take the gospel to this world. Not only in word, but in deed. We love like Jesus loved us. We forgive. We point people to Jesus. Remember, the gospel is the power of salvation to all those who believe. Remember, God's word says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. May that not be a description of Northwest Chinese Baptist Church. The harvest is plentiful, and I pray that as we, brothers, sisters, as we continue to serve to the glory of God, as we continue to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and pray and be on our knees crying out to God, I pray that God would send us as workers into the harvest for His kingdom, for His glory. We thank God and we look forward to the great things He still has yet to do here at Northwest, in and through each one of us. Let's pray. God, we praise You. We thank You so much for Your Word. God, I pray that You would help us. God, we need You. We need You to help us. We need You to humble us. We need You to break down our pride, to break through our idols. But God, we rejoice in the fact that You are faithful no matter what. Even in our unfaithfulness, God, You are faithful. And God, we thank You. I pray that after hearing Your word today, that we would be encouraged, that we would be spurred on to continue to give our all for Your glory. And God, I pray that if there's anyone here that may be sensing You, God, leading them to some type of decision, maybe it's a decision to put their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Maybe it's a decision to lay our idols down at Your feet, and to follow You and to serve You with everything that You've given us. Whatever the decision is, I pray, God, that You would lead them to take a stand, to take a step forward. And God, I pray that we as a church would continue to give our all, God, for You, for Your kingdom, for Your glory. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like to invite you to stand and rise as we sing this song, as we have this time of response. If God is leading you to make any kind of decision, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, I want to invite you to come and share with me so that I can pray with you. Or if you want to just pray with me, I welcome you. I invite you to just come as we sing.